In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. When Jesus had gone into Jerusalem that final time in John's gospel, he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to die. And so as Jesus here in these chapters that we're looking at in John's gospel, from John 13 through 17, all of it is a preparation of Jesus' disciples for when he will no longer be with them in the flesh. Remember, he had come in John 1 as the Word made flesh, God's very presence, God's very pattern among them. He was the living example among them of what God desired. But Jesus knows he is going away. Going to the Father is his language. And so he has one task in this great final speech in John's gospel. Prepare them for when he isn't among them in the flesh. Before this final great Passover celebration in John's gospel, in this great long speech in John 13 to 17, right before this, Jesus' final word is a declaration about eternal life. He says, the command of my Father is eternal life. So as Jesus begins this great Passover celebration, as we looked at the last couple weeks in John 13, remember, he humbled himself, stripped himself of his status, his robes, became a slave and a servant, and washed their feet. And he said, look, love each other when I am gone in the same way that I loved you. He modeled this new command for them. And then in John chapter 14, last week, we looked at how Jesus spoke about going to the Father and preparing a place for his disciples, a place where they would be able to live and reside in the very presence of God even after he was gone. He told them he was preparing the way, and the disciples asked, if we don't know where you're going, how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And he told them, I will not leave you as orphans. Beautiful picture of when he leaves, you will not be fatherless, because he had been the presence of the Father among them. He says, I am going to send one among you, the very spirit and breath of God himself, to live within you. The Father will dwell in your very midst. You will not be orphans. The Father will be there to guide you through his breath, his spirit that lives within you. He said, keep my word. And so as we get to our chapter for today in John 15, Jesus expands on this whole idea and just elaborates it with this beautiful picture of a garden. He said, God the Father is the gardener. He takes care of the garden, and he has planted me as the vine. And off of this vine that he has grown with me, there are many branches. You are those branches. If you are to have life connected to the gardener, you must stay connected to the vine. Remain in me, he says repeatedly. Abide in me. Stick with me. So when I'm gone, remain in me. And the disciples are likely thinking in the background of this whole conversation, the way that we might be as well, well, if you're gone and you're not among us in the flesh, how do we remain in you? How do we walk with you? How do we abide with you when you're gone and we can't see you? Jesus gives them a very simple answer. You will remain in me if you obey my command. An answer we may not like. But that's it. If you want to live in Jesus and stay connected to his life, obey his command. And in order, I think, to simplify it for his disciples, because it can be easy to be overwhelmed, Jesus doesn't use the plural commandments, commands, singular. There's just one. You can focus in on doing one single thing. And he reminds them, as he had told them earlier, he said, what is this command? Just love each other in the exact same way that I loved you. Again, so simple, yet so big. Lay down your life for others as I have laid down my life for you. But there's always a great but in these kind of sermons. He says, but doing this is going to get you disowned by the world. The world cannot stand my kind of love. This isn't Disney love. This isn't the love that our culture teaches of. This is a love much more profound, much more disruptive, much more subversive to the very fabric of the world that we live in. He says, if you love like I have loved, your fate is going to be the same. They're about to kill me because of my kind of love. And if they persecute me, you better believe they're going to come after you if you obey that command. He says, you don't belong to the world when you live as I have lived. My love is a radical dismantling of everything that we hold dear because it strips ourselves of status and power and wealth and empties ourselves before others. And it sacrifices ourselves for others. It doesn't look out for number one or number two or whatever we may rank ourselves. We become the last. And that turns the world on its head. He says, if you live like that, you don't belong in this world. And they're going to know that. They're going to disown you and say, we can have nothing to do with you. But he assures them, as he had before, the world has no real power over you. I've come to conquer forces of hatred and violence and greed in our world. They can't really hurt you. And he says this even as he knows he is going to die for this love. How connected are we to Jesus? Have we remained in him, even though he doesn't physically walk among us, and we've never physically walked among him? Are we connected to Jesus? Have we remained in him? Have we obeyed that one simple command? And if we look at ourselves as branches on the vine of Jesus, how would we assess the fruit that we bear in our lives? Jesus says that the gardener in that image prunes and is constantly chopping branches off. And it doesn't matter who you are, you're always going to have the Father chopping at your branches. He says, first, if you produce no fruit whatsoever, adios, the whole thing is gone. He says, but even if you produce good fruit and you obey my command and show the kind of love that I have shown, the Father is still coming in there with his clippers. He's going to cut off all the areas where you aren't producing the fruit that you should. If the gardener were to show up and assess our lives, what kind of fruit would he find? How much? And what is he going after with his clippers? What does he want to cut out of your life that's fruitless? Does the world disown us? Does the world see the love that we embody and say, we could have nothing to do with them? They're not like us. They refuse to play by our rules. They refuse to play our games. We disown them. They are not part of us. Jesus says if we're walking in his word, obeying his command, the world will disown us. Have we been disowned? Or are we just part of the party? Part of the sinking ship? Remain in me. Jesus is leaving. He's going to the Father. Remain in me, he says. There's one way to receive life. There's one way to remain in Jesus when we don't see him in the flesh walking among us. Obey my word. The simple, simple command that anyone and everyone can have memorized for the rest of their lives in this moment. Love each other exactly how I have loved you. That's it. In John's gospel, he gives us nothing else. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. That's where eternal life is. True life from God through all circumstances. Even as we are persecuted, disowned, or killed, God's life flows to us through the word and command of Jesus. If we love, nothing will ever be able to overcome us. The victory has been won. God will give us new life, no matter what comes our way. So remain in Jesus. Obey his word. It's the only place you will ever find real life.